Hello and welcome to the live promo marketing webinar, Norwood and Bic Graphic, You Don't Have to Play Golf to Sell Golf, sponsored by Norwood and Bic Graphic North America. I'm Nicole Stella, Editorial Director of Promo Marketing and the host of today's event. Before we get started, let me point out a few tips on how to make the most of today's live seminar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. Also, you can send us questions via the Q&A box to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions during and at the end of the hour, so you can go ahead and send them to us at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the widgets and bells and whistles on this console. And to find out what all the widgets do, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn how you can customize your event today. One quick note, you can print out a PDF version of the slide presentation right now by clicking on the Download Slides widget at the bottom of the console. And finally, we encourage you to tweet about this event today directly from your console as well. The hashtag is #PMWebinar. We're talking golf today, and we're lucky to have Matt Travers, an experienced promotional product sales representative and golfer, to help us plan the ideal golf event. Matt has over 25 years experience competing in amateur golf tournaments around the country and has been in the promotional products industry for 10 years. We are excited to hear from him. So without further delay, Matt, you can take it away.
Thank you, Nikki. And thank you to all of you for attending. My hope today is that everyone will learn a few things to make selling golf easier and, of course, help you be more profitable when selling golf. We'll start with a quick agenda. Why sell golf? Where to sell golf? A quick industry overview. We'll go in depth in regards to golf balls. We'll talk a little bit about selling kits and accessories, and maybe more importantly, how to plan a successful golf tournament. Why should you be selling golf? Perhaps the most important reason to sell golf is there are over 30 million golfers in the United States. Golf items hold a very high perceived value and are much appreciated by golfers. Golf products appeal to a variety of industries. There's a high reorder factor due to tournaments and golf outings repeating year after year. The most important thing is to assure that your golf tournament stands out so folks return to your event year after year. Many business executives play golf. A lot of business deals are made on the golf course. There's large sales potential due to high price points in the golf market. Profit is obviously important to all of us, and there's high profit margin potential while selling tee kits, event kits, and golf accessories. Golf items are great for company store programs. Many sales reps want to have something to hand out to their customers that play golf, and they can find those on their company store programs. Internet-based selling and catalog programs are also popular for golf items. Where are we selling golf? One of the largest industries for golf are financial and the banking industry. For example, open a checking account and receive a dozen golf balls. Automotive dealerships go for a test drive, receive a certain golf gift. Silent auctions at nonprofit events and charity golf events often include golf accessories, golf clubs, and foursomes for golf events. Travel and resort companies, Father's Day promotions, obviously, golf tournaments, sales incentives, trade shows, corporate gifts. A little golf trivia. Do you know why a full-length golf course has 18 holes? Well, legend has it that in 1858, one of the St. Andrews board members pointed out that it takes 18 shots to polish off a fifth of scotch. By limiting himself to only one shot of scotch per hole, the Scot determined a round of golf was finished when the scotch ran out. In industry overview, there's four main product categories within golf. Golf balls seem to make up the largest share of the business. Accessories provide price-conscious essentials. You have tee kits and you have event kits. These kits can not only service as innovative prizes for golfers, but also make great gifts. If there's one group of people that are extremely brand loyal, it's your golfers. In no particular order, the most popular golf brands are Titleist, Nike, Callaway, TaylorMade, Wilson, and Cleveland Golf. The golf industry is starting to trend towards lower price point products due to shrinking budgets for golf tournaments. A few years ago, we all noticed that many golf tournaments were canceled due to the economy. It seems that tournaments are starting to make a good resurgence. The opportunity for growth is in selling useful golf accessories and tee kits. For example, shoe bags, the hat clip with a ball marker, tees. Golf balls continue to be price-sensitive products, and if you need to, we can focus on unique kits and accessories to increase profit as opposed to folks just concentrating on price points. A little more golf trivia. What was the first golf ball made out of? In the beginning, golf balls were made from wood, and then soon after, they were made out of a leather pouch stuffed with feathers.
Matt, I love these trivia questions. And I actually have a couple of quick questions from the crowd for you right now. The first one is, are women's golf promotions or events still trending up? And do women like women-specific products, or do they seem to prefer unisex golf products?
Twofold on that. I see a lot more women starting to play golf now. Mm-hmm. At the club that I belong to, it's great to see the women out, and we actually have a lot of tournaments strictly for women. And I would absolutely say that women want products that are geared towards them, especially with the new stuff out there. All the golf companies now have women's stores and women's clubs and women's outfits and women's accessories. So absolutely do not be afraid to diversify on that end.
And then one of our other questions that we've gotten in is, what are some of the most popular items that go into a golf promotion?
Well, hands down, you always think of golf balls first.
Right.
In almost all golf promotions, people are giving away golf balls. But for the purpose of our selling and making profits and all that good stuff, golf balls sometimes limit your profitability. If you want to sell golf balls, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, include the golf balls in kits and custom kits to where you can make it personalized kits so that the cost of the golf balls aren't just standing out.
And then with that in mind, in terms of the women's products, would you say how much would it be, a 50-50 mix of products that are available for women, or 25 to 75 women and 75% men, male-oriented products? Do you have a general idea?
You're going to see it be 50-50 as an offering. Mm-hmm. In reality, when you're talking about a tournament or promotions, I would probably skew your promotion to almost that 80-20 rule. You know, we don't want to make assumptions, but I would make the assumption, unless it's just a women-specific event or a women-specific tournament, to gear your promotions towards the men, but have the alternative there for the women so that we're not leaving people out and we're just offering a well-rounded offerings.
Perfect. All right, I'll let you get back to the presentation then.
Easy enough. Let's talk, let's learn a little bit more about today's golf balls. In our industry, there's two different ways to go to market and to order golf balls. The first one is the factory direct golf ball. This is where the distributor will place the order with the golf ball supplier, and then the golf ball supplier will place the order directly with the golf ball manufacturer. The branded golf factory is going to imprint the golf ball and ship it to either the distributor or the end user. This option usually has a 7 to 10 business day lead time. There's normally free setups and most likely is going to be the lowest priced option. In reality, if we've seen anything in golf, like all the rest of the promotional products, folks aren't planning ahead. They're not ordering well ahead of time, and it's more a reactionary item sometimes. So there's the option of in-house golf ball production. This is when the distributor places the order directly with the supplier, and the supplier imprints directly on the golf balls and ships out to the customer. Like I said, the biggest advantage of this is the shorter lead times. The majority of suppliers are going to be able to produce these golf balls in 3 business days, and some can even do them in 24 hours. You might be worried about inventory issues on golf balls when ordering directly from a supplier as opposed to a manufacturer. During peak selling seasons, you're not going to have to worry. The suppliers are stocked and stacked and ready for your golf orders. Another huge positive of going the in-house option as opposed to the factory direct option is you've definitely got the supplier's dedicated customer service there to help you, and in some instances you've also got a sales force out there to offer ideas and answer any questions for you. Normally, with the in-house balls, you're going to have a setup charge, and the prices are going to be a little bit higher than just when they're a factory direct ball. The reason for that is the quicker service, and we definitely want to have the ball's quality checked at the supplier. Now let's talk a little bit about the parts of the golf ball, and it might seem a little bit like an early geology lesson. There's 5 parts to the golf ball, the first part being the core, which is the innermost component of the golf ball, and sometimes referred to as the engine of the ball. The engine of the ball is going to provide the distance that the golf ball travels. The next layer on the ball is the mantle. The mantle provides the feel of the ball. Does the ball feel soft coming off the club? Is it a harder feeling golf ball coming off the club? Next is the cover of the ball. The cover of the ball provides the control of the ball, depending on how much the ball spins, how durable the golf ball is. If any of you have held a golf ball in your hands, you'll notice that there's dimples on the ball that are either in a circular patterns or possibly hexagons. These dimples allow the golf ball to fly through the air, whether it's increasing or decreasing the drag, producing the lift, how far does it land, providing stability to the ball while in flight. The coating is the final process on the golf ball, and it provides protection from sun, fertilizers in the grass. The majority of the coats are white, but we are seeing a little bit of a resurgence of either a green or a yellow golf ball. In today's market, there are 4 types of balls: a 2-piece, 3-piece, 4-piece, and five-piece ball. The number of layers directly relates to price and playability of the golf ball. More layers is going to equal increased flexibility and control of the golf ball by the player. Here's a chart that shows golf ball comparison, and you're going to see that price and performance relate directly to each other. As the price goes up, so does the performance of the golf balls. You'll notice on the lower end are names such as Pinnacle Gold, the Nike Mojo, the Top Flight XL Distance, the Wilson Ultra, and the Srixon Soft Feeling golf ball. As we move up the scale, golf balls such as the Titleist DT, the Callaway Warbird, the Nike Power Distance, the Wilson TC2, the Srixon Q-Star. The next category is going to be closer to aspiring professionals and folks that are taking their golf game seriously but might not quite be to the point where they need to be spending $60 a dozen of golf balls. These balls are the Titleist NXT Tour, the Callaway HX Diablo, the Nike Crush, the Wilson Duo, the TaylorMade TP Black. And then finally you get to the most expensive golf balls. The golf balls are expensive for many reasons, but the real reason they're expensive is because these are what they're using on tour, and everybody wants to pay, will pay for a little bit more expensive ball. Now, in that same breath, all golfers should not be using the same ball. The amateur golfer that's only playing once a month or once every couple months definitely does not need a golf ball that the pro golfers are using. And quite honestly, those golf balls are not going to be – the pro line golf balls are not going to serve the lower end golfer as well as they are the professionals. Do not be afraid to sell a lower end ball to your customers. When handling tournaments or customers come in, lots of folks are always going to ask, you know, what's the best ball? What do I want to be giving to my customers? My suggestion would be use the two middle balls as your points of suggestion for the majority of golfers. If you know that balls are going to very good golfers or very, very avid golfers, offer the Titleist Pro V1, offer the Wilson Staff, offer the TaylorMade Penta. But unless folks are really going to get the use of these high-end golf balls, do everybody a favor, sell the middle two, and you'll create a lot of credibility for yourself out there. Well, on this slide, we're going to find out the chances of making a hole-in-one. The good news for all of us golfers out there is we do have a chance, but that chance is 1 in 67 million. So the positive of that is keep on playing and keep on trying.
Matt, I have never had a hole-in-one, but I do have a lot of questions here for you, so I'm going to jump in once again and pass along some of the questions from the audience. One of them is, I've seen more colored balls out there. Do women want to play with pink balls? What are the yellow balls for? Or should we just be sticking with the safe white balls as a good bet for promotions?
Good question. And you're starting to see, especially from the Srixon brand, a yellow or green golf ball being reintroduced to the market. Mm-hmm. Until you start seeing the professionals start playing with a yellow golf ball week in and week out, I think your best bet is to continue to sell the white golf balls, just because that's what folks are going to be seeing on TV the majority of the time.
Right.
And women's balls are also offered in white as well. So not all women's balls will be offered in pink anyway. Mm-hmm. But then in that same regards, if there's a tournament based around breast cancer awareness or strictly a women's charity, the
right.
pink balls might be great, but don't consider it a necessity.
And what are the questions that you should ask to determine the level of player that's being targeted for a promotion in order to recommend the proper ball? I know you just went through all of those different price points on golf balls. So how do you determine someone's ability?
Yeah, well, in golf, there is a universal language called your handicap. So maybe the question you'd pose to the folks either putting on a tournament or purchasing the golf balls would be, what's the average handicap of the golfer that we're providing the balls for? And a quick education in regards to handicap. Professional golfers are probably anywhere from a plus 2 to a plus 10 handicap. Avid and good amateur golfers are probably from a plus 1 or plus 2 all the way up to maybe a 5 or a 6 handicap. Anyone lower than a 6 handicap, I would suggest the high-end balls for. Handicaps, say, from 7 to 15, maybe that second grouping of balls. And then once you get over that, I think that third grouping, and then if you ask the question and somebody says, oh, the average handicap of the folks playing golf today is 25 or 30, then default to that first circle that was on the graph.
Okay. And how do you avoid the trap of quoting golf balls only? I know you said that is one of the most popular items for a golf promotion, but how do you side skirt that?
Good question. Have alternatives, and we'll show you a couple alternatives later in the presentation, but have some alternatives available. And kind of a way around it, too, is to tell folks, hey, if we're just handing out sleeves of balls, the logo on that golf ball is only going to be in front of your customer for as long as they have that golf ball. So depending on the ability of the golfer, they might only hit each one of those golf balls one time before they hit it in the lake or hit it in the trees and can't ever find it again. If you put those balls into kits and add a few more components that the logos will always stay around, that's a good way to entice the end users in regards to buying kits and not just the golf balls.
Right. Okay, Matt, well, that covers it for our questions so far, then. I'll let you get back to the discussion.
Sounds good. Well, we talked about golf balls. Let's now cover golf tees. There are three different golf tee sizes. Each length is used for a different purpose on the golf course. For our purposes today, we probably want to know what the best-selling length tees are, and that is the 2 3/4-inch tees, which provides a little bit of versatility for the golfer. With today's world and the drivers being built a lot larger than they were back in the day, the 2 3/4-inch tee is going to provide the ability for folks to hit irons off the tees and also the largest of largest drivers. A new concept to the promotional products market are the zero-friction tees. These tees are a three-prong or four-prong design on top of the golf tee that lessens or reduces the amount of friction on the golf ball. It sounds like I'm giving science lessons here, but the less resistance of the golf ball on the tee equals more distance. In order to be more of a service to golf tournaments and to better your profits, I would suggest also including tees in kits. There are two standard types of golf kits. The first would be the tee kit, which just normally includes tees, ball markers, and divot tools. Then you have event kits, which include the tees, markers, divot tools, but are also going to probably include a golf ball and possibly other packaging options. Most suppliers are going to have your standard and throwaway packaging options. My suggestion is to use exterior packaging that promotes lasting impressions of the company logo and can also be used by the golfer, not just on the golf course. Some of my favorites are sunglass case, a water bottle, valuables, pouches. Again, making them useful and reusable by your customer. There's custom opportunities in kits. You can completely make the components of the kits unique. And the big positive of this is the kits can be exclusive to you. When you make kits exclusive, that takes away a lot of competition and also the competition on price. And again, what we really want out of this is to make your golf promotions more profitable. Another avenue in regards to selling golf are accessories. Accessories are that such as the golf towel, a hat clip with ball marker, divot repair tool, shoe bags, and umbrellas. Accessories are useful products that are needed by every golfer on the course. Accessories can be purchased to fit any budget. Again, as we talked earlier, golf balls, but accessories are great complementary items to golf balls. Accessories are going to be kept for a continued period of time where golf balls can either be lost and tees can get broken. Golf accessories are going to provide that lasting impression. And again, here we see again the recurring theme of profitability. In today's professional golfing world, if a professional golfer wins a major championship, their check is close to $1 million. The first professional golfer to win $1 million, and this was over the course of probably many years, was Arnold Palmer.
Wow. Well, it does sound like there's a lot of profits then to be made in golf promotions, and we have a few more questions here for you. One of them is, putting a custom kit together like you were talking about, it sounds like it could be complicated. So who would a distributor call to sort of kick off the process, and what does that process look like?
Well, at Norwood and Bic Graphic, I would suggest starting either with customer service or your local sales rep. Give them a call. Let them know your budget. Let them know timing. Let them know how many people we've got. And we'll be able to kind of walk you through the process relatively easily. And don't be afraid to be asking questions and putting the onus on us to come up with some good ideas for you.
Okay. And is it easy for a promotional company to market to the pro shops, or is it difficult to be able to win on price and to get in there and be competitive on pricing?
You're going to find it very difficult to market to pro shops on branded golf items, because within golf, we're selling the promotional products part of golf.
Right.
All the golf manufacturers have a green grass sales representatives, and that's basically the Titleist reps, the TaylorMade reps, the Nike reps going and calling on the local golf courses. You'll also find when putting tournaments together, folks will sometimes butt heads with the golf professionals at the golf tournament. So just be sure to talk through this with the tournament chairman and make sure that they're communicating with the golf pros that they are taking care of the promotions, that they don't, not that they don't want, but they don't need the golf pros' help in regards to that, because they're taking that under their wing.
Right. So is there a good place to start if you are just getting started in selling golf promotions? Is there a way to knock on the right door or the right person to speak to with regards to golf promotions?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a good way to would be to use some of our search engines, such as the Googles and the Yahoos, and maybe search, you know, charity golf tournaments in Buffalo, New York, or charity golf tournaments in Los Angeles, California, charity golf tournaments in Nashville, Tennessee. Hopefully that'll give you a list of tournaments, and then after that you can start calling around to find out who's running the tournaments and who you might be able to break in on that end. On the same regards, though, golf doesn't just need to be sold to tournaments. It can be sold to any companies that have a sales force and are going out and calling on executives that might play golf. So don't be afraid to talk golf in any sales calls.
So sort of community level, corporate level, tournament level, there's lots of different avenues to break into this niche market.
Absolutely.
Okay, I've got one other quick question for you before I let you get back to the presentation. My customers are looking for less than minimum quantities. Is that something that you can accommodate?
It's going to depend on the product. Most golf manufacturer items, you'll be able to find the onesies, the twosies, the six at a time. The majority of the time, if you're looking for event kits, most of the suppliers probably aren't going to be able to provide five of an item or ten of an item. Most golf tournaments usually have 72 or 144 participants, so I think you'll probably see minimums in regards to golf event kits be, you know, closer to that 72 piece. But, of course, most suppliers aren't going to want opportunities to go buy them, so reach out and, you know, work with the customer service folks or your sales reps for the opportunities.
Perfect. All right, Matt. Well, then I'll let you get back to the presentation.
Well, now we'll move on to golf tournaments. As a distributor, if you can make yourself an expert on the process of running a golf tournament, that's where we're really going to be able to add value to the golf tournament, to the folks running the golf tournament, and again, maybe take their eyes off of just the price. So I always ask a couple questions. Who's running the show? Is there a tournament committee that's giving direction and keeping the tournament on track? If not, suggest that a committee is started or created. The committee will probably have a chairman and then some vice chairmen, or however, whatever terms folks are using. The chairman will be heading up the committee for the entire tournament, and then the vice chairmen would handle obtaining sponsorships. Another one would be finding who's going to play in the tournament and marketing to those folks. And then another one might be looking for the awards and the prizes. How much money do we have? You got to figure out a budget before you can plan a tournament. Entry fees as well as your sponsorship dollars are going to determine the courses that you're able to play, the types and the amount of food and beverages that are provided, and then also the types and the amount of awards that are given out. As in anything else, you're probably going to find that your budget's not going as far as you need, so you're going to need to find new money. You can increase monies by increasing sponsorship opportunities. There might be an overall tournament sponsor, but then within there you can find a sponsor for your food and beverages. You can find sponsors to put tee signs up at each hole. There could be a golf cart sponsor. If there's golf balls being given away at the tournament, the logo on the golf ball might be an option to purchase as well, as opposed to just somebody donating those golf balls. Where and when am I going to have my tournament? Well, once you've got your budget, you can start looking for courses that fit within your costs. Depending on the market that you're in, some courses might require a deposit, and some courses might actually require reservations a year in advance. One thing that I've learned all too well is always set aside and schedule a rain date. I would recommend that being the week following on the same day of the week. Whether you're organizing the tournament, whether you're playing in the tournament, you do not want your tournament to be canceled due to weather. So if you've got a rain date scheduled, it gives all the players and all the organizers an out and a second option. What kind of tournament are we going to hold? Determine the type of tournament you're hosting. Is it a charity event? Is it a very competitive event? Is it an event at a club where it's just members only? Or is it a recreational tournament? We want to choose a format that is going to be enjoyed by the majority of our participants. Is the field serious, or are they just there to have fun? In most charity tournaments, folks are there to have a good time and don't want to feel any pressure. For this reason, most tournaments default to what's called a scramble format. You might also hear it as a Texas scramble. The tournament and a scramble format is all players tee off, the best shot is selected. From this best shot, each player hits again. You pick the best shot, and so on and so on. The process is repeated for every shot throughout the day. A question that folks ask, should we limit the amount of players or participants? I've always said that this is a double-edged sword. The more players you have, the more money you have to spend. On the flip side of that, larger fields can cause some problems. Nobody wants to be on the golf course for 6 or 7 hours. And take it from me, there's plenty of charity golf tournaments out there that is definitely the case. You want to make sure the course has enough golf carts to handle all your participants. So if you're hosting a tournament with over 144 players, definitely check with the golf course, and they might have to order additional carts in. You want to assure that you have something for everybody. In addition to giveaways handed out at the registration table, you will have to determine the additional awards and prizes that are going to be offered. Do you have a long drive out on the golf course? Do you have a closest to the pin? Is there a straightest drive competition, which basically you're going to draw a line down the middle of the golf hole, and instead of relying on somebody hitting the longest drive, it's the closest to the line in the middle? Is there a longest putt? Many tournaments have raffles to raise money. A couple of suggestions that I personally have in regards to raffles in tournaments is, one, I suggest putting an option to purchase raffle tickets on the entry form. This allows corporate buyers the availability to include those raffle tickets in the same corporate check or the credit card receipt. And I promise you, you'll see increased raffle dollars if you make it easy for people to purchase raffles. Also, this allows for not having the golfers, I don't want to use the word harassed, but having to come out of pocket time and time again at the tournament by folks always asking, hey, have you purchased your raffle tickets? Did you get your raffle tickets? Do you want to buy more raffle tickets? Another suggestion regarding raffles that I really like is having raffle drawings completed while the golfers are out on the course. So if folks have purchased the raffle tickets in advance, when they come in off the golf courses, the winning numbers are posted for all to view. This also saves a lot of money and time in your after golf events, when a lot of folks just want to get their food, hear who won, and get the heck out of there for the day. You're going to need a bunch of written materials for your golf tournaments, whether that be promotional flyers, player invitations, outing day agenda, the rules sheet, who you're playing with. So make sure that you've got somebody in charge of that on the golf tournament. It might not necessarily be us as suppliers or distributors, but again, something to help educate folks that are putting on golf tournaments. Food. Everybody loves food and drink on the golf course, so you need to consider where, when, and what we're going to serve. Are we having breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the course? Is it an all-day event? Are we just having hot dogs and hamburgers grilled out on the course? Is there a sit-down dinner or buffet afterwards? Is there going to be a beverage cart driving around the golf course? Are the golfers going to be responsible for purchasing items off the golf cart or the beverage cart, or is that going to be included in their tournament package? A lot of tournaments I'll see where the golf carts will be loaded up with bottles of water or soda or granola bars or some snacks sitting there waiting for the golfers. Because remember, it's going to be a long day, and you don't want people anxious and ticked off at you. At the end of the day, there's going to be some winners, and there's going to be a lot of not winners. But everybody likes to win. So the more awards and prizes, the more goodwill your tournament is going to bring. And remember, the biggest reason for having a tournament is to make money for probably the charity that the tournament's is responsible for. And the more people that receive prizes, the more people that walk away from that tournament happy and saying, I'm going to go play in that tournament again next year. Handouts for all players, as we've discussed, golf balls, tees, towels, hand sanitizers, sunglasses, hats, cigars, cigar cutters, and, of course, one of our favorite, the Bic lighter. The winners of the golf tournament. How do you decide what you hand off to the tournament winners? You could just go with standard trophies and awards. They're great. But with the golf community, the plaques, the trophies, the awards, while they're well received, golfers want to get something that they can use and use over again and that might actually improve their golf game. So I suggest, in regards to tournament prizes, hand out golf clubs, golf bags, do a custom club fitting for the winners, a range finder, golf shoes, rounds of free golf. If it's a very high-end tournament and you've got high sponsors, maybe airline tickets. An example for awards would possibly be the first place team. The four people in the first place team receive a golf driver. The second place team each receive a golf bag. The third place team receive a shoe bag. Some of my favorite tournaments that I've played in or been involved with allow the winners to choose their prizes. Have a table with multiple items. Again, four items for the winners, four items for second place, four items for third place, and it's how many prizes you can afford to give away. But don't just assume that first-place team, everybody wants a driver. Let that first-place team go to the table and have each one of them pick a prize that they want. Second-place team goes second, third, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, now that we've talked about this tournament checklist, let's formalize it here real quick. Before you're going out to start a golf tournament, run a golf tournament, we need to recruit our golf committee, which is probably a year out. We need to finalize or develop a budget. We need to decide whether we need to seek sponsorships. Where are we going to play? What day are we playing? And again, highly suggest a rain date. Decide on the format and additional event prizes. How many participants are we going to have? When do we send out the invites? What's going to be the food and the beverage menu? Prepare tee signs. A very important thing that goes overlooked is meet with the director of the golf at the golf tournament. I suggest doing it in the beginning, 3 months out, and then you'll see later on in this checklist, 2 weeks before the tournament. And definitely the most important thing about a tournament is make sure that everybody is having a good time. People have a good time, they're going to come back to the tournament and profit. Results and people's coming back to tournaments over and over again. Our final little golf tidbit and trivia, did you know there's three golf balls on the moon? And I just want to say thanks and see if we have some questions from the group.
We definitely do, Matt. We have a lot of questions. Just real quickly, if we don't get to all of your questions today, somebody from Norwood BIC will reach out to you and your question will get answered very quickly. The first question is, do we really need to get involved with the planning and execution of the event? You just talked a lot about how to plan the event. Is that something that the distributor needs to step in on?
You don't have to, but if one thing that I've learned, the more value you can provide to your folks, the more they're going to come to you over and over again and purchase the products from you. If there's three distributors out there bidding on the golf tournament, my guess is the one that can provide more help and insight into regards to running the tournament might be the ones that are in the business.
Right. And how much is a good price to charge for an entry to a tournament?
Well, that's going to depend largely on geography and the area that you're having the golf tournament hosted. I recently relocated from Los Angeles, California, to Nashville, Tennessee. In Los Angeles, the prices of golf courses are a lot higher. In Nashville, they're a little bit lower. I've seen, and it also depends on what charity and who you're looking to draw into the tournament. I would think on the low end, a good per person charge would be $150 to $200 for the tournament. On a high-end charge, you could be looking at upwards of $1,500 per participant. But again, it's going to really depend on the location, the golf course, and what charity or what purpose the golf tournament is having.
Right. And what distributors are putting together the event kit? Does each item that go into the kit, does that have a setup charge per item?
Probably not. Again, it'll depend on what supplier you're going to. I know at Norwood and BIC Graphic we'll have a setup charge per the kit. If, however, we're making a completely customizable kit and we're going to start from scratch and start adding things in, we'll probably deal with that on a case-by-case basis.
And you had mentioned golf clubs as giveaways rather than trophies, and for sort of a higher end gift item. What's the average price point on a golf club for an event like that?
Well, again, you're going to open that budget question up again, and whether or not the charity committee or the folks have ins with golf manufacturers and all that good stuff. If you're just strictly depending on or purchasing the golf clubs, a driver is going to cost the end user somewhere between $300 and $400 per driver. You can get wedges and putters for somewhere between $100 and $150. If you're giving out shoe bags or golf bags, you know, you might be looking at $30 or $80 to $100 for a good golf bag.
Okay. And can those golf clubs, can they be personalized? And because the technology is always changing, is that a worthwhile thing to do for a golfer?
The majority of the high-end drivers cannot be personalized. Some of the golf manufacturers might allow the grips to be personalized, where you can put a logo on the grip. We also sell a lot of Cleveland golf wedges. Mm-hmm. That the Cleveland golf wedges, you can definitely customize them and put a logo on that. And I think it would be, especially on the wedges or possibly a putter, it'd be well worth the time to put the logo. In regards to the drivers, I wouldn't be so concerned about personalizing or putting a logo on the driver.
Okay. And we had talked about the golf balls that are geared towards women and men. Is there a difference between the makeup of that golf ball, or are they all essentially the same, however the color might change? Or
it's going to come down to a term called compression and the amount of swing speed that it takes to compress a golf ball. women's golf balls are going to have a little bit less compression, so maybe they'll be 50, 60, 70 compression ball, where the majority of men's balls are 80, 90, or 100, 100 compression balls.
Okay. One gentleman asked, finding golf prospects is difficult, and since you indicated that pro shops are sometimes a bad idea to go there or difficult to break through, where is a good place to find customers for golf products and golf specialties?
Well, I think we have to look, A, at our current customers and ask them, hey, are you involved with golf? Do you host golf tournaments? Do you know anybody that hosts golf tournaments? And, again, maybe use the search engines to find the charity golf tournaments that are in the area. But I think, for better or for worse, the best way to find the golf customers is we really do have to ask the questions and find out who is either hosting golf tournaments or purchasing golf products.
Okay. And a quick question about the scramble. I've got somebody who asked a question about the scramble teams. What system can you use to even out the scramble teams in order to allow the not-so-avid players to compete for prizes with the golf ringer teams who have one amazing player that lets them shoot 10 under par?
If it's the case that we're just expecting it to be, you know, one or two really good players on a team, a lot of tournaments will require using whether it's two or three tee shots from each one of the participants within the foursome. So basically, you know, your one or two handicapper is not taking every tee shot available. While certainly they'll be hitting them, you're going to be required to use two or three tee balls from everybody in the group.
Okay. And we talked about some clubs for incentives and things like that and for trophies. How does it work with shoe fittings or club fittings? How does that type of event get arranged?
Oh, good question, and that's one thing that I did not address in the webinar. Again, it all comes back to the budget and the dollars available to the golf tournament. But some of the most fantastic tournaments I've been to, you'll receive a pair of shoes at check-in, or you'll receive a putter at check-in, or you'll receive a golf wedge at check-in. The best way to go about this, again, would be to contact either customer service at Norwood or Bic Graphic or your local account manager. But basically, the gist of it would be, let's just take Nike golf shoes as an example. If we're going to give Nike golf shoes out to each participant at a tournament, my suggestion is we will order in 20% more shoes than golfers we have. Nike provides us with a size chart that within about 10% error will be pretty good for your tournament. So say you have 144 folks coming to the tournament, Nike will send us in a chart saying, okay, you need two pairs of sevens, three pairs of eights. The majority of people are going to be between 9 and 11.5. You'll need a couple of size 13s and an example. My suggestions for these are get the shoes there an hour before registration at the golf tournament. Set a table up with a box of each sized shoe on the table, and then have all the other shoes behind the table and organized by size. Allow folks to sit down, try them on, and if the shoe fits, as they say, allow them to take that box and then replace that box with another pair of shoes on the table.
Okay.
One question that might come on that is, well, what if you run out of shoes and somebody doesn't get their size? You'll find that many people actually are looking to get a pair of shoes for either their children or a coworker.
Right.
If their size is not available, we take their name, their address, their contact information, and we'll mail them a pair of shoes within 1 to 2 weeks.
Great. Okay, and another question. Who typically typically puts together the collateral material you reference in the tournament planning slides. Would that be the distributor or the client?
That is most likely going to be the client.
Okay.
Unless it's a distributor that is specializing and focusing on golf tournaments,
right,
where then they may have set formats or templates set up that they can suggest to the end user. But typically that's going to be whoever is running the tournament.
And if a distributor is going to jump into the game and help to organize the tournament, can you suggest a price point on how they would put that together? How would they put
it? Oh, you mean in regards to, I'm providing my services to you,
yeah,
so it might be a $100 fee, it might be a $1,000 fee, it might be, I guess my strong suggestion in that would not so much be charging folks a fee, but set the expectations that, hey, I'm going to help you run your event.
Right.
If I help you run your event, will you purchase all the products from me?
Gotcha. Okay. And does BIC Norwood have a specific golf package sales kit that distributors can reference when they're putting these types of events together?
In the all-inclusive Norwood catalog, you're going to see a pretty solid golf category. I would suggest starting there, and then if we need to find you any more information, either contact your sales rep or customer service, and we should have a few offerings for you.
Okay, great. And I think our last question that we can get to today is what product from a sponsor standpoint will players keep on using on a continuous basis for prolonged marketing purposes?
I think for that, a golf bag, a golf shoe bag, and a personalized wedge are probably your three best bets.
That's great. Okay. All right, well, thank you, everyone, for that great Q&A session. We had lots of good questions. If for some reason Matt did not get to your question today, please keep in mind that somebody will definitely get back to you and answer that question for you in a pretty quick manner. And also, we had lots of requests to download slides, so don't forget that you can click on the Download Slides widget at the bottom of the console so that you can get a PDF and you can print that out, and it will be a great reference tool for you far into the future. So it looks like we are just about out of time for today. So on behalf of Promo Marketing and Norwood and BIC Graphic, I want to thank you for attending today's Power Seminar. Be sure to check back at our event page at the address on the screen, which is magazine.promomarketing.com/webinar, to get information on all of our archived and upcoming events and seminars. We look forward to seeing you next time at the Promo Marketing Online Seminar events. Thanks so much for joining us today.